ट्रांसेंडेंटल पास्ट टाइम श्री श्री गौरांग महाप्रभु की। That's all.
So the ocean is here in the Ganga.
Well, we know that Ganga Sagar is called Ganga Sagar. You know the river is always changing its courses, and even in the those who are geologists, they say that actually this Bengal, this part, no, it is came out, it's just on the mouth of the Ganges, and it's just like an island. So it is coming, and its course is changing always. We don't know. So the sea may be nearer here before. We don't know.
Through that mouth, the ocean entered and is touching here. The Ganga Sagar
is here.
Big holy place where Ganga meets Sagar.
Also, you know, up to Adi Saptagram, you know, all the ships used to come here. There's a river here. It's always changing. The geographical position like that. Far inside, all seagoing vessels used to come here. Far is not only here, far inside.
That Navadvip Dham book, that's in English. Navadvip.
Dhamatma. Yeah, glories of Navadvip Dham.
Okay, glories of Navadvip Dham in English. That explains how the ocean entered the river and came all the way up to Navadvip to touch the Navadvip Dham. There's a holy place called a Ganga Sagar where Ganga meets Sagar. Sagar means ocean. It's a meeting point of ocean and Ganga. That's a Ganga Sagar. That's where Ganga kind of ends on this planet. Starts from Gangotri on top of the Himalayan mountain, and it meets Sagar Bay of Bengal, not far from here, 80 miles. Okay. Today will be also, this is appropriate also to mention, not here, but in Jannu Dweep. Maybe we can talk there. Next dweep is Jannu Dweep. We'll tell there. So we'll talk there about more about Ganga. So just to make the point more clear that the ocean entered the mouth of Ganga and kept coming, traveled 80 miles so that ocean would be able to touch, directly in touch of Navadvip Dham. So ocean entered, arrived here, reached here, and offered those beautiful prayers and informed Mother Ganges that Lord is going to be appearing on the banks of your banks.
That also links up with
that also links up with the Jagannath Puri is here. And Jagannath Puri is on the bank of ocean.
It's the same ocean. Same ocean.
Same ocean. It's the same ocean.
So here this.
We know that place is non-defined from Jagannath Puri also. So Jagannath is there.
So the river.
That's all we take the tatta.
So the ocean must be at Jagannath Puri.
Huh?
The ocean must be at Jagannath Puri.
Yeah, in Jagannath Puri the ocean is there, so and it is non-defined, but we cannot see in our material vision.
The ocean came here. The ocean came to Jagannath Puri.
But Maharaj is seeing.
He can see. We are not so fortunate. Please show us one day.
By hearing, you see. Okay.
Shall we get moving? I think we have a long way to go.
Very well. All the devotees come here for
nectar.
I was trying to think of some words. Everyone come and sit down. Children out. If you leave room in the middle, they are going to, the locals are going to occupy that room. So all the devotees could sit together, closer to each other and talk. All the devotees come here. Everyone come around here. There's going to be, you could see where the speakers are. This morning speakers. Here we are in Janmudvip. Not yet. We haven't entered Janmudvip as yet. There's a town here. We are at the outskirts of a town called Vidyanagar. As soon as we leave Vidyanagar, we'll be entering Janmudvip. So this is still part of Ritudvip. Please take note of that. Arival. Vidyanagar. Vidya, you know Vidya? Rajavidya, Rajaguhyam, Pavitram, Idam, Uttamam. Vidya means knowledge. Vidya is knowledge. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had come to this place to acquire Vidya, acquire knowledge. As Lord Krishna had gone to Sandipani Muni's ashram to acquire, how many, 64 are it?
64
types of Vidyas. 64 different arts, branches of knowledge Krishna had acquired from Sandipani Muni. So similarly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had come here to this place where Ganga Das Pandit, he was principal of the school, he was running the school. So this is the place where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to school. One day, I think it was the first day, we also had mentioned to you that Murari Gupta also went to the same school. Murari Gupta was about to graduate from the school at the time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered the school. It was a big age difference. So you see these trees here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, how many? So many. See these trees? This tree. Yeah. One day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he planted his pen into the ground. And that pen grew into a tree. Once there was one tree, and somehow there are many trees now. Some internally they are connected. If you go deeper inside, like a branches of the same tree. Ah? Pen. Writing pen. Pen. Indian English, Indian way of saying pen.
Many botanists have come study this tree, and it is not one of those species. How many plant species? 20 lakhs? 30 lakhs. You know that verse? 20 lakhs. That 20 lakhs. 200,000 varieties of plants are there. And this plant, this tree is not on that list of 200,000 species. There's no tree like this in anywhere in the universe. It's the only tree of its kind. So, anyway, Maharaj is all ready with his Navadvip Mahatmya. So we'll hear Subhag Maharaj read out from Navadvip Mahatmya. For some time we'll get that nectar, and then we have our morning Bhagavatam class by Hanumat Preshak Swami Maharaj.
Yeah.
And he'll be talking about two processes, Vandanam and Dasyam. Because we'll be passing through Jahnudvip, that is Vandanam, and we'll be reaching our destination residence tonight is in Modadrumdvip, that is Dasyam. So we'll be touching upon two processes of devotional service this morning. He's getting all his notes together. And after the nectar, we are planning so that we could take breakfast right here in this area. Should we do that, or you want to walk? You want to walk to the breakfast?
Or? It's kind of like that.
Huh?
Oh, it's kind of like that. It's a nice place here.
Here?
Yes.
Did you get some milk and some rice last night?
Yes. No milk. No shortage of milk.
No milk. Yes, no. Yes, no. No, yes.
Some shortage.
Okay, some drank too much, I think. Drank the quota of others. Anyway, we are aware of that you had a meal only yesterday at 2 o'clock. You are almost fasting. So we are trying to get breakfast here. So while the classes are going on, we'll work on that. Hey, Hari Bol.
Hari Bol.
So Nityananda Prabhu was showing, after showing him other parts of Ritudvip, he came to Vidyanagar. He is also a part of Ritudvip. He says, Ritudvip antargata e Vidyanagar matsurupi bhagavan sarvaved dhare. This is Ritudvip here, just God in the form of fish incarnation. He holds all the knowledge of Veda. So this place, Sarvavidya Thake Ved Ashray Koriya, Vidyanagar Nam E Sthane Diya. Since all types of knowledge is seat of this is the seat of all types of knowledge, so this place is named as Vidyanagar. Nagar means town or city of Vidya. Now he is describing, Kunajave Srishtimukhe Brahma Mahasaya, Otivitahan dekhi sakal pralay. After seeing the pralay in creation, so Brahma was scared. Seikale prabhu kipa hoy tar prati ei sthan pe bhagavan kore stuti. After getting the mercy of the Lord, Brahma was praying to the Lord and coming to this place. Mukh khulibar kale devi Saraswati, when he opened his mouth, then Saraswati from his tongue
Jiva hoite janme oti rupavati, very beautiful Saraswati Devi appeared from his tongue, manifested. Saraswati Shakti Koye Dev Chaturmukh Sri Krishna Karen Stav Bevaro Sukh. That means happily then he started glorifying Krishna, getting the power from Saraswati. Brahma is doing this prayer. Srishti Jabe Hai Maya Sarbodhi Kheri Virajar Pare Thake Gunatray Dhari Maya Prakashito Vishya Vidyar Prakash Kare Rishi Gan Tabe Koriya Prakash. And Brahma again created, which is surrounded by the river Viraja, and is full of Sri Guna, and is Maya, he is manifesting so-called knowledge, Vidyar Prakash, by the, with the help of the rishis, of the sages. Eito Sarada Pit Koriya Soy. So this is the place of seat of Sarada. Sarada means, you know, goddess Saraswati. That is goddess of learning. Rishigan Kore Abhidhar Parajay. This way the great sages. Soshati Vidyar Pat Loe Rishigan Dharatale Sane Sane Kore Vigapan. The great sages, they took lesson of 64 types of arts and they taught this in different parts of the world. J.J. Rishi, J.J. Vidya, Kore Adhyayan, the different sages learned different arts. Ehi Pite Se Sabha, Sthano Nukhan, and all the seat of all the knowledges is here. Sri Valmiki Kabbaras, Ehi Sthane Pai. Valmiki got this knowledge of his power to write in a poetic form or whatever he has written later on. Narad Kipayateho Ailo Hethai. By the mercy of Narada, he came here. Dhanantari Ashiheta Ayurved Pai. Dhanantari came here and he got the knowledge of Ayurved, knowledge of medicine, you know, in the scriptures. Vishwamitra Adi Dhanu Vidya Shikhi Jai. Vishwamitra came here and learned military science of archery. Vishwamitra. Shaunak Adi Rishigan Pare Ved Mantra Deva Deva Mahadev Alochaya Tantra. The sages, Shaunak and others, came here and chanted the Vedic mantra. And God of the demigods, that means greatest among the demigods, is Mahadev. He came here to discuss Tantra. Brahmachari Mukhoite Ved Chodushtaya Rishigan Prakthunaya Kurila Udaya. When the great sages prayed to Brahma, then from Brahma's lips, the four Vedas came out from here. Kopila Chilo Sankha Eishthane Boshi. Kopila Dev came here and sat down and composed and wrote Sankha philosophy. Naya Tarka Prakashila Gautam Rishi. And Gautam Rishi here, he taught the Naya philosophy. Vaisheshik Prakashila Muni, the sage Karna Bhuk, he taught here Vaisheshik philosophy. Patanjali Yogshastra Prakashya Apuni, and the sage Patanjali, he taught Yogshastra here. Jaimini Mimamsa Shastra Korila Prakash, and Jaimini, he learned and he composed it Mimamsa philosophy, Karma Mimamsa. All six types of philosophy are all written here. Puranadi Prakashila Rishi Vedavyas. And Vedavyas, all the Puranas, he Prakashila means published here. Pancharatra Naradadi Panchari Rishi Panchajan Prakashya Jeev Gane Shikhaya Sadhan. So Narad Muni here, he published Pancharatra and taught the sadhan, the devotional bhakti service. Ehi Upavane Sarva Upanishad Gan. The Upanishad personified in this place Bhukal Gauranga Kare Aradhan. They sat Gauranga here for a long time. Alokhe Gaurahuri Sheshav Kohila Nirakar Buddhi Tava Hidaye Dushila. unseen by others, Lord Gauranga. নিরাকার বুদ্ধি তব হৃদয় দিছিল তুমি সব এবে শ্রুতি রূপে মরে না পাইবে ইউ উইল অ্যাজ এ শ্রুতি উই নো দ্যাট দেয়ার টু পার্টস অফ বেদা ওয়ান ইজ কল শ্রুতি ওয়ান ইজ কল স্মৃতি সো দি শ্রুতি পার্সনিফাইড হি ইজ টেলিং দেম মহাপ্রভু দ্যাট নিরাকার বুদ্ধি তব হৃদয় দিছিল ইউ ওয়ার কন্টামিনেটেড বাই দি আইডিয়া অফ লর্ড সুপ্রিম পার্সোনালিটি But the absolute truth as Nirakar, this is your contaminated. Yeah. But Prakot Lila Tabe Dekhibe Amare. Mamo Gun Kirtan Koribe Ubhaye. Then, when I will manifest here, you will glorify me and understand that Lord is actually a person. Because he cannot see here now. Mahapu was unseen and he was telling all this to them. Taha Suni Sutiva Nishtabda Haila. All the Sutis listening this. From Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is unseen by them, they remain silent. Gopone Asila, Hetha, Kalapikya, they are hiding here and waiting for the appearance of Lord Gaurhari. Ehi dhanna Kali Yuga, Sarva Yuga, Sar. This is the greatest of all Yuga, is the Kali Yuga. Why? Jhate hoilo si Gauranga avatar, because Lord appeared here as Gauranga. So Kali Yuga is glorified. বিদ্যালীলা করিবেন গৌর সুন্দর গণস বৃহস্পতি জন্মে অতঃপর সিন্স লর্ড গৌরাঙ্গ উইল অ্যাপিয়ার হিয়ার অ্যান্ড ডু হিজ বিদ্যালীলা দ্যাট মিন্স হিজ পাস্ট টাইমস অফ লার্নিং অ্যান্ড শোয়িং হিজ নলেজ বৃহস্পতি উইল অ্যাপিয়ার হিয়ার উইথ হিজ অ্যাসোসিয়েট বাসুদেব সর্বভৌম সেই বৃহস্পতি গৌরাঙ্গ তুষিতে যত্ন করিলেন অতি In order to please Lord Gauranga, so Brihaspati appeared here as Vasudev Sarvabhauma. Prabhu mor navadvipe vidyar bilas, koriben jani mone hoiya udas. So, since he knows the Lord will appear here and show his knowledge, so knowing this, he also took birth here. ইন্দ্র সভা পরিহারি নিজগণ লয়ে গিভিং আপ লিভিং দ্য কোর্টিয়ার্ড অফ দি কিং অফ হেভেন ইন্দ্র জন্মিলেন স্থানে স্থানে আনন্দিত হয়ে এই বিদ্যানগরিত করি বিদ্যা বিদ্যালয় বিদ্যা প্রচারিল সর্বভৌম মহাশয় সার্বভৌম উইজ অ্যাকচুয়ালি দ্য বৃহস্পতি আর গুরু অব অল দি ডেমিগডস টুক বাথ উইথ ইজ অ্যাসোসিয়েটস ইন দিস প্লেস পরিপ্রভু সকলে হারায় বাই লজিক বাই ট্রিক্স হি ডিফিটেড এভরিবডি প্রভু বিদ্যানগরতে আইসে গৌর রায় অ্যান্ড সামটাইম উইল কাম টু বিদ্যানগর হিয়ার অধ্যাপক গণ আর পড়ুয়া গণ অল দ্য প্রফেসর্স অ্যান্ড দ্য স্টুডেন্টস পরাজিত হয়ে সবে করে পলায়ন দে আর অল ডিফিটেড বাই চৈতন্য মহাপ্রু অ্যান্ড লেভ দিস প্লেস গৌরাঙ্গের বিদ্যালীলা অপূর্ব কথন অবিদ্যা সারে তার যে করে শ্রবণ হুয়েভার লিসেন্স দিস পাস্ট টাইমস অফ চৈতন্য মহাপ্রভু গৌরাঙ্গ হি বিকামস ফ্রি ফ্রম দি ক্লাচেস অফ মায়া আর অবিদ্যা নেসাইন্স শুনিজি প্রেমানন্দে সে নগরে ব্যাস পিঠে গড়াগড়ি যায় প্রেম ঘরে Then, so, Jiva Goswami is telling Nityananda Prabhu that in Suniji Premanande, in love, he says, he starts in ecstasy, rolling on the in the ground, in the dirt, Nityananda Charane Kare Nivedan, Amar Sangshay Chet Kare Ekhan. Please dispel my doubt, falling at the lotus feet of Nityananda, Jiva Goswami is saying, সাংখ্যবিদ্যা তর্কবিদ্যা অমঙ্গলময় দিজ আর ইনঅসপিশিয়াস হ্যাঁ ডাজ নাথিং গুড ইফ সামবডি স্টাডিজ সাংখ্য ফিলোসফি অর লজিক কেমন এই নিত্যধামে সে সকল রয় হাউ ক্যান দে স্টে হিয়ার দিস শর্ট অফ নলেজ হাউ ক্যান দিস প্লেসেস বি দি সিট অফ অল দিস নলেজ ইজ আস্কিং to Nityananda Bhoga, Jiva Goswami. Suni Prabhu Nityananda Jive Dai Kol. So Nityananda Bhoga asked Jiva Goswami to sit on his lap, and Adar Koriya Bole, Hari Hari Bol, to sit down on my lap and chant, Hari Hari! Prabhu Pavitra Dhame Nahi Amangal, Tarka Sankha Sata Nahi Hetai Prabal. Though they are staying here, but the influence of Lord Chaitanya is so much that they cannot do any harm. They cannot contaminate the dham. Bhakti Rodhin Sab, Bhakti Dasya Kare, Karmodeshe Dushto Jane, Vipar Jaya Dhare. Actually, they are all servants of the Lord. Bhakti Rodhin Sab, they are all subordinate to Bhakti. Karmodeshe Dushto Jane, but one who is wicked, according to his karma, sometimes he is affected by it. Sakale kare bhakti devir prakash bhakti mahadevi hetha ar shabda. The bhakti is their most dominant, and everybody is his is her servant. Sakale kare bhakti prakash, one who is surrendered to bhakti devi, they get bhakti, and one who is wicked, they are affected by them. Navadive navo vidha bhakti adhisthan, bhakti re sevay sada karma ar gyan, even karma and gyan remain as a servant to the bhakti devi. Navavidha bhakti, and like savanam, kirtanam, they are always staying here, and all other karma, gyan, all these things are subordinate to Navada Bhakti here. And they serve here to the Bhakti Devi. Bohirmukh jane shastra daye dushtamati, shishtu jane sei shastra daye Krishna mati. Krishna roti. Bohirmukh, those are materialists. They may read scripture, but they are contaminated. But those who are Shishtajan, but those who surrender to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Bhakti Devi, after reading the scripture, they get attachment to Krishna. That is the difference. Pauromaya Gauri Dasi, Adhishtatri Devi, Sarvajuge Eisthane, Thake Gauri Sevi. Pauromaya, that means, you know, Puramatala, there is a big banyan tree in the marketplace of Navadvip town, you might have seen. That is called Prorumaya. That means Krishna's internal energy. She is also staying here in all ages, serving Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Oti karma deshe jar Vaishnavate desh. Because of his past activity, if somebody is envious to the Vaishnavas, Tare Maya Andha Kare Daya Nana Klesh. The Mayadevi make him blind and give so much distress. Blind means, I suppose, means blind of the bhakti, I think. Sarva pap, sarva karma, heta hoy khoy, Prorumaya vidya rupe karo karma lay. The Prorumaya, that means Krishna's internal energy, she removes all the result of sinful activity, who serves here, Gauranga Mahaprabhu, and the result of his karma, she takes it. Kintu jodi Vaishnavete aparadh thake, but if somebody... Kintu jodi Vaishnavete aparadh thake, but if somebody has committed offense to the lotus feet of the Vaishnavs, tabe dur kore tar karma bipake, tabe dur kore, in that case, this Prabhu Mayadevi removes all the result of his karma and saves him. Vidyapuri Nodiyai Sesab Durjan Kobu Nahi Pai Krishna Padiprem Dhan. Sorry, actually it means that Vidyapuri Nodiyai, next one, if somebody studies material knowledge, they are considered Durjan. Pobunai Pai Krishna Premdhan. They can never get love of Krishna. Vidyar Abhidyalab, Pareshaishab. They get only nescience, knowing that that is the only knowledge. Nahi dekhe Gurangir, Nodiya Boibhav. They cannot see the Boibhav. That means opulence of the Lord Gauranga. Ate vidya nahi amangal mai, vidyar avidya chaya amangal hai. So actual vidya is not inauspicious. It is the perverted reflection of vidya is inauspicious. Ehi shav sphuribe jeev Gauranga kipai. By the mercy of Gauranga, this will manifest within the heart, my dear Jiva. Nityananda Prabhu is telling to Jiva Goswami. Likhibe apon sastre prabhu ro ichchai. By the will of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, one day he will write all this philosophy in the devotional scriptures. Tomar dara koriben sastre prakash. Through you, Lord Chaitanya will make you write all the scriptures of devotional science, which is real knowledge. Ebe chalo jai mura jannur abas. Let us go now to the residence of Jannumuni. Bolite bolite sabe jannagar jai. Saying this, Nityananda Prabhu, Jiva Goswami and others went towards Jannagar. Hare Krishna.
Om Ajiratamirandasya Janandana Salakaya Chakshurimritam Dina Tasmai Shri Tradhe Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shri Vasari Gaur Bhaktarinda Andi Guru Nisha Bhaktan Isha Isha Avatar Kanta Prakasham Shatakshakji Krishna Chaitanya Samgnitam Krishna Madhurya Eka Adbhuta Swabhava Apanay Asparite Krishna Kari Bhakti Bhava Shri Shri Gornitai Ki Jai Sai Chaitanya Chandra Ki Shri Radha Madhava Ki Jai Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
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 Narayanam Namaskrita
Narayanam Namaskrita
Naram Chaivam Narottamam
Naram Chaivam Narottamam
Devam Sarasvatim Vyasam
Devam Sarasvatim
Vyasam Tato Jayam Mudiraye
Tato Jayam Mudiraye
Shravanam Kirtanam Vishno Smaranam Parasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasham Sakyam Atnivedanam. So, I didn't have much chance to get a hold of any Krishna conscious literature to prepare anything. I actually was able to see the verse one time. But a lot of thoughts have been going through my ever-active mind. So the two processes I've been asked to discuss are Vandanam and Dasham. As kind of a general background to these Navanga Bhakti, Navavidya Bhakti, I had developed the understanding or misunderstanding over the years from the various quotes and conversations with devotees and so on about the nine processes. In one purport in the eighth or ninth canto, actually I discussed with Jayadvaita Maharaj a couple days ago, he also remembers this quote. Srila Prabhupada explains that the first three processes, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, can be performed by anybody. That anybody can do those three. And the last three, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam, can only be performed by the Acharyas. He's explaining like that. So, of course, these processes, one can achieve liberation by perfecting any one of these processes. And they're interrelated. On the other hand, one can also perform one of these processes as in a liberated stage, even after one is already in the liberated stage, and establish in pure devotional service, he can perform one of these processes. So, and also there's one tape where Prabhupada explains that one who becomes perfect, one perfects shravanam, when he perfects hearing, then he can engage in kirtanam, right? After you've heard nicely, then it's possible to explain that. So, one time we were getting a food permit for a Rath Yatra festival in Boise, Idaho, and the man told us we had to have all of our bottles labeled. You know, this is flour, this is laundry soap, like that. And he told us that one time he said it's important because people, when they're out there, they don't know what's what, and they start taking different things. So he told us that one time he gave ladies five different substances that all looked the same. They were all this white powder, and told them to make cookies out of them. So they made the cookies, and he explained to one of them that what was rat poison, the other one was white flour, the other one was laundry detergent. And he used these five white powders to make different cookies like that. So somebody may tell you, well, this is not flour, this is laundry soap. And you go, yeah. And you start using it to make your cookies. He says, no, that's not flour, that's laundry soap. And they go, So that's when you actually heard the message. You're making this point, there's a difference between hearing and listening or whatever it is. But when you actually have heard the message, then you can tell somebody else. You can repeat Shravanam, Kirtanam. As remembrance, sometimes they can, TLC is translated as meditation, and so on. So I remember, I guess it was an incident of Smarnam, as far as I understand, is that this was in the days when there was only one Rath Yatra festival. Rath Yatra festival, it was in San Francisco with Jayananda, who made, about very nice disciple of Srila Prabhupada. So we'd put all the Rath Yatra, I'd worked on a Rath Yatra festival as a bhakta, and, and we put all the paraphernalia away in one basement. I'd help do that. And then next year I was initiated in everything, and I was engaged in so many kinds of service in the temple. And then we came down with Jayananda because it was coming time for Rath Yatra. And we went into the storage area and we started taking out the Rath Yatra card. And as soon as I started seeing the paraphernalia, the whole experience, started to come back of the, serving out prasadam to thousands of people and not having, clean clothes for days and guarding the cart and on like that. Just kind of came back in a wave of recollection. So that's smarnam. Smarnam just doesn't mean you remember something in your mind, in your brains. But it means that at the heart, your heart has changed and the recollection, the remembrance is there in your heart. And it's meditative recollection, meditative recollection, absorption. So when you become perfect at smarnam, where you're always absorbed, your mind is absorbed, soaked in Krishna's name, form, pastimes, activities, then no more punar janma, no more repeated birth and death. So we were hearing yesterday in the purport that this is adequate, this is Bhagavat Vidhi. But then if one wants to engage in archanam, then he has to take initiation like that. So we can see, it seems there is a progression. One can progressively become disengaged in chanting Hare Krishna, and if he perfects that, he goes back to Godhead. But to engage and then recommend it, then one try and take up initiation, take up other processes like that. And practically speaking, Prabhupada says, unless you're liberated soul, you have to take initiation and worship the deity. And then one more point. This is many of these points, I don't think anybody has really studied these nine processes, minutely among our speakers, and so I think there's a lot of controversy. So, as far as my understanding, padasevanam is always this question, what is the difference between padasevanam and dasyam? I'm discussing dasyam. So there's, again, one purport where Prabhupada explains that sometimes people take just engaging in service to Krishna, engaging in some activity on behalf of the deity. For example, someone is coming, associating with Bhakti Yoga, and you say, oh, Bhakti Leroy, we're making a real nice feast on Sunday here, and we're out of sugar. Can you go to the store and buy 20 pounds of sugar? You may have done that yourself. And so he goes and buys his sugar. Or can you help in the garden tomorrow? We're going to be doing things like that. So that kind of voluntary general service to Krishna, actual service beyond his hearing and chanting, that, to my understanding, is part of sevanam. And then dasya, also, yeah, we talked to so many people about this, dasya is then viewed as dasya bhav. It's actually the first of the five mellows. Dasya, and then sakyam, and then atmanivedanam. I can't give any detailed scriptural quotes to back this up in detail, a chance to study in detail, but a lot of different reading and discussions with devotees. Atmanivedanam then can include vatsalya and madhurya ras, like that. So it's progressive like that. So we can discuss that later on if anybody has any more view like that. So dasya, according to my particular perspective, in the purport of the verse, Prabhupada gives very, very short purport, like half a purport, half a paragraph, about what is dasya. You know, simply saying that one's service thickens, and he can engage in service to Krishna. But then beyond that, also vandanam, discussing vandanam. Vandanam means offering prayers. And in general, of course, that's a very, very understandable part of any religious process. Almost every single religion has vandanam, offering prayers. And Prabhupada mentioned one time, I think this is also a problem, many times we buy buildings and we have trouble with the neighbors, right? You have that experience. You know, we're waking them up at 4 o'clock in the morning and so many things like that. But it's a little bit bewildering to us because we're buying churches. We think, well, you know, we bought a church, and why can't we engage in our religious process here? So one time, he probably explained that our process is basically kirtanam, and the Christian process is basically vandanam. In fact, in Christian theology, many times they're called prayer houses, right? Prayer houses. So praying the vandanam is usually a little more quiet like that, a little more introspective, you know. And it's recommended that one read and study the prayers by great personalities such as Akrura and others. Of course, Srimad Bhagavatam is filled with, you know, many, 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 many prayers by different great personalities. And if you study these, you know, in the beginning, I know my own consciousness was like, oh, there's some more prayers, you know, all these prayers. But if you begin to study them, it's actually in vandanam, one actually reveals his heart. You know? He reveals his heart, his consciousness, his situation. For example, in the prayers, I think when Krishna's, the Yadu dynasty, they described the members of the Yadu dynasty, they understood the Atma. They weren't fools. And they understood Krishna. When they saw Krishna, they said, they saw, oh, here is the Paramatma. Begin to get an understanding of their internal consciousness and what their position in devotional service is, because they're very frankly revealing, you know, who they are and how they view the Lord. Similarly, if you look at Bhishma Dev's prayers when he's passing away, it's interesting because he wants to see the Lord in a certain form. He says that very frankly. He doesn't want to see Gopijana Balabhai, doesn't want to see Rukmini Raman, you know, or Arjuna Saka, you know. He's different. He has a certain specific position which is revealed in his prayers. That. And of course the Acharya for Vandanam is Akrura. His prayers, Prabhupada especially appreciated the prayers by Akrura. And I've been told that Prabhupada also especially appreciated Arjuna's prayers in the Bhagavad Gita. In the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna offers his prayers in the 11th chapter in two parts. They're very nice. The Sanskrit is very beautiful. It's so purifying just to chant the Sanskrit for these prayers. So, in Bhishma Dev's prayers, he's talking, and then, you know, once one becomes a little expert at understanding, you know, by following the Acharyas, then one can actually maybe compose his own prayers like that. compose his own prayers and petitions for the advancement of devotional service to Krishna. And by comparing our activities, by continuously touching base with the acharyas, whose prayers are completely devoid of rasa bhas and so many things, we can make sure we can see the impurities in our prayers and then adjust them, and by that activity we can make advancement along this line. Of course, you know, we know that by perfection of any one of these processes, or by perfection of all nine, any combination, one can achieve the general perfection, liberation like that. So according to my bigger consciousness, I have more I can go on with here, but any, you know, I have so many points I could, more than I could possibly cover in the lecture here. But are there any thoughts at this time, or any questions anybody has about, you know, dasyam or vandanam or the nine processes of devotional service?
Well, first you said that there is the three first processes are practiced by everyone.
Anybody can.
Yes.
Anyone can do the first three processes.
And then you explain about the example of a bhakta going to buy some sugar.
Yeah.
But this is
how to save them.
Yeah, you said the other one are for the realized soul.
No, the last three.
The last three.
The last three, I remember. I would just say, thought maybe three, wasn't sure, maybe two.
Nectar of devotion is just two.
Huh?
A nectar of devotion is only two.
Maybe that's what he was getting, you know. Yeah. Okay. The Krishna says two. Which two?
It's befriending and surrendering.
Okay. Sakya Manatmani Vedanam. Right there. I have a bias. And Hanuman is the acharya for Dasyam, so I got a vested interest in this discussion. Madhva Acharya is supposedly an incarnation of Hanuman. You can branch up in a whole discussion of Hanuman. Yeah. So this is more in the mood of, you know, Raganuga Bhakti. Bhakti and bondage or in development can be practiced by following the rules and regulations, or it can be practiced by following a certain personality. In Bhakti Vinod's Jiva Dharma, at one point one of the bhaktas is asked about his particular consciousness, and it's decided that for him the best process is specifically following the rules and regulations. And that's the best for him. You know. So then there's a whole discussion about Raga Bhakti and following. You know. So Dasya, I would say, I mean, humbly suggest that Dasya is beginning to become difficult, right? And definitely we have the suggestions that Sakyam and Atmani Vedanam are extremely difficult to perform, and except for the Acharyas, that to actually fully surrender unto Krishna one's very self, described like that. One translation is described that Mother Yashoda, she would rather die a million deaths than see one drop of perspiration on Krishna's body from having to work too hard like that. So mothers tend to spoil their children. The Mother Yashoda is so much concerned with, you know, with Krishna's situation that she would rather die than see Krishna work. Not have to do any work. Or to speak of once, she would rather undergo death a million times rather than see Krishna have to lift a finger for any kind of, you know, any kind of labor like that. So this is, you know, Vatsalya Ras, or we're discussing the idea of Atmanivedan, of giving one's complete self to Krishna completely. Yeah. But in this marg, you know, Raga Bhakti, I actually looked a little bit at that, and there's a couple characteristics. One of the characteristics, if one is encouraged along these lines, is that somebody who's following Raga Bhakti or trying to perfect his service by these transcendental mellows, one of the first characteristics is the complete inability to operate on a material platform. Right? One can no longer has any ability to operate in terms of lust, anger, and greed, in terms of illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, meat eating, like that. So if there's any gross impetus or activity along those lines, then one has to understand that he's not qualified to operate, to follow Raga Bhakti, or whatever he's doing is, you know, tinged or basically predominantly sahaja activity. And now I'm going to follow the gopis, or I'm going to simply hear the pastimes of Krishna and the gopis all day long. No, now it's simply sahajya. One of the first characteristics is that one actually has to be free from any tendency to operate on the material platform. And especially in Dasya Ras, there is a feeling of complete protection by Krishna. Not that one is actually wanting to take something from Krishna, but one is just, that's just the way things are. One is just convinced, totally convinced that whatever circumstance or activity he's engaged in, that Krishna will protect him. And it's described that the sons of Krishna and the servants of Krishna could translate this faith into practical demonstration whenever they wanted to. And many times they did things which were actually fairly unlawful like that. But they were assured that, you know, that Krishna would protect them. Example of Samba, when he tried to kidnap, was he kidnapping?
Yeah, he kidnapped
that
man. Samba,
he's
Sadhu Gajan's daughter, Sulakshana.
Sulakshana, yeah. So he was sure that his great father, you know, and family would protect him like that. So these are some of the symptoms of this Dasya Ras. And Prabhupada, in the Nectar of Instruction, he explains that devotional service is not a matter of sentimental speculation or imaginative imaginative ecstasy. You know, now I have become, you know, a ray of, you know, not Vishnu, a ray of Nanda Maharaj. You know, I will go around giving shelter to the world and acquiring huge wealth, and I'll get a little fat like Nanda Maharaj, and, you know, so on. You know, it's not a matter of imaginative ecstasy or a sentimental speculation, but it is practical activity in the foreground of the spiritual life. So along these lines of actually thinking oneself of trying to serve Krishna as his servant, this is the purport where Prabhupada was saying that sometimes people just take service to Krishna in the sense of going to buy sugar for the deities or doing something like that as dasya. But dasya is actually bhava. It's actually a bhava. It's actually a rasa like that, where one is established in his eternal constitutional position, or he's trying to follow along those lines, like one is trying to follow along the lines of Madhurya rasa. Probably phrase in terms of the story of Kubja, that one who's trying to enhance and develop his devotional service in this Madhurya Ras must be very careful and never think of engaging in gross, you know, sexual activities like that, so on. It's a very difficult path to follow, you know. So if one is trying to follow this Dasya Ras, then the next, trying to enhance or develop his devotional service in Raga Bhakti, and especially maybe Dasya, trying to reawaken his idea or consciousness that he is Krishna's servant eternally. Then other characteristic is that, what to speak of not being able, the other side of not being able to work or act on the material platform, which means meat, coin, and illicit sex, intoxication, then it's just, you know, completely practical for him to operate on the opposite platform. At that point, it becomes very, very practical to see everything in terms of following in the footsteps of an exemplary personality, a great liberated soul. You know, he's bewildered about how to organize his devotional service. So then he begins to think, well, how would Nanda Maharaj handle this problem? You know, like that. And of course, this, for the scriptures then, certain things become revealed, and probably everybody here has had this experience at the right moment. Certain things become revealed from the scriptures. You have some problem, and then what happens is you hear, you know, somebody reading something from the Bhagavatam or something like that, and it deals exactly with the problem, and you really think that this is Krishna's way of telling you the solution to your problem, because it's scriptural and also it's specifically to your problem. That. So in some ways this is the superiority of the Raga Marg, is that not only is it the general outline of scripture, but also it's personal. And it, you know, fits into the situation in a very personal, realistic, complete fashion. That. Another characteristic is that it's a gift of Krishna. Whereas one may feel, well, I'll follow the rules and regulations. I'll adopt this path. I'll start, you know, like I used to deliver newspapers in the morning when I was a boy. I'd go out in the morning, I'd get up early in the morning, and, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning, I'd roll my newspapers and go and throw them in people's yards and, you know, make my money. So it was a conscious choice. I had to decide that I was going to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go out and make, you know, whatever it was, you know, money. So one may think, well, I'm going to follow bhakti yoga. I'm going to adopt the process of bhakti yoga. That. So the rules and regulations are like that. But in Raga Marg, this is a gift of Krishna, a gift of the Guru, a gift of Krishna. And you can't just, okay, now I'm gonna adopt Raga Marg. No, one actually has to have some inspiration and mercy from Krishna, and Krishna gives mercy like that. You know, shouldn't feel that these are all impossible things. No, but again, there are symptoms and characteristics when we can determine to what degree our activities are sahajya, and what areas our activities are sahajya. But if Krishna begins to bestow mercy along these lines, then one can become assured, and one can actually go ahead and try and enhance his devotional mood by following in the footsteps of a great personality. In the Sankirtan seminar, we were just discussing like that, that one can meditate upon other devotees and their activities, and it becomes very easy then. There's a thing in psychology called imprinting. You know, you may... how many people know what imprinting is? Do we know what imprinting is? Ah, one person. Amazing.
Let her explain.
No, she isn't sure. So, yeah.
Let me go on to the last point here.
So I come back to that, because I also was thinking about that myself. It seems like there's 10 processes by which you can perfect yourself, and one of them is, you know, book distribution. 10 processes. So you can learn something. You can memorize a poem, and you know, 47 years ago, or, you know, whatever they teach you in school, by going over it again and again, or something like that. But there's also a process of learning called imprinting. And this means that somehow or other, a living entity, this monk, this, you know, absorbs himself into another living entity, and just absorbs everything that personality represents automatically. And it's very, of course, they always study animals. So when a baby duck is born, for example, it imprints on the first living entity it sees. So, of course, that's usually its mother, you know. And then it's totally attached to its mother. It just follows its mother's example in every way. So one very famous psychologist, Conrad Lorenz, something like that, they began to suspect this was going on. So as soon as the mother had laid the eggs and stuff, they heated them up and so on. When they hatched, he just sat there right in front of the ducklings when they came out with his head and, like, you know, smiled and made noises that he could make on a regular basis. Then what happened was these ducks, they never quacked. They just started imitating the noise he was making back and forth. And whenever they would walk around, they would follow him in a little line. And he would go swimming. There's a famous picture of him swimming in a lake and just his head's in the water. And all like that. And the ducklings are going along a little line behind him. You know? And they would grab his hair and pull on it like that and so on. So to me, this is a natural, just subsequential manifestation of Raga Bhakti. Is at a certain point you start imprinting, falling in love with a certain personality, his activities. And again, the point is, it's completely natural. It's practical activity. It's just this is just the easiest way to organize your service and understand, well, how am I supposed to preach? How am I supposed to distribute books? Right. You know, so somebody may distribute books as, you know, as just kirtanam. He may feel he just wants that, you know, Prabhupada says. He says this book distribution, we simply go out, you know, after hearing enough about the books, then we go out and we tell other people. Right? He says this is Shravanam Kirtanam. Our book distribution is simply Shravanam Kirtanam. Another time they say, well, what is the benefit of book distribution? And he says, well, when one is selling a book, he has to talk about Krishna. He has to see the picture of Krishna, right? And therefore he has to think about Krishna. So that sense is smarnam, you know. So it can be performed, and one can simply think of it as this is this service to Krishna, Pada Sevan. Let me serve Krishna by going out and selling his books, you know, like that. So one can take it as different processes, but basically, in this age, everybody pretty much, I think everybody, it says in that verse, has to perform kirtanam. You know, haranama, haranama, haranami, eva kevalo, kalona steva, nasteva, nasteva, gatiranyata. So this age of Kali, you know, kirtanadeva krishnas, yeah. You know, this chanting is the process that is the yuga dharma. Therefore, out of the 9 processes, as I remember, Prabhupada says, everybody has to perform this process, kirtanam, to some degree. That you can't achieve perfection in the other 9 really without performing some kirtans, like that. You may be absorbed in Dasi Ras, you may be absorbed in Padasevanam, this one, you know, or whatever, it is hearing, but you have to do some kirtanam to perfect the whole process like that. Okay, one more question. That's my name, Hanuman Preshak, I think refers to when he gave him the ring. It's many times it's been compared to that. You know, we say we're going to try and find Sita, that Ravana has kidnapped Sita and returned her to Ram. You know, going out liberating Lakshmi, it's called, you know, liberating Lakshmi. It's used to painting sales. You know, liberate Lakshmi. So on. Hanuman gets hung up on in Sri Lanka.
Are followers of Rupa Goswami, Rupanugas, are they getting perfection in the Madhurya Ras?
Are followers of Rupa Goswami getting perfection in Madhurya Ras? I would say if they want to. He's Rupa Manjari. You know, I mean, the spiritual master is quite able to deliver. Prabhupada says some one places he says one should, you always think of the, you know, spiritual master and disciple relationship as master and servant. But many times he talks about, you know, one should have a vow of fast friendship with a spiritual master. In other places he talks about that, you know, that, and is it okay to quote Sridhar Maharaj? Is he okay with GBC now? In any case, one senior Gaudiya Vaishnava, he's talking about Rupanugas. One senior Rupanuga was explaining that the spiritual master is capable of reciprocating in all the rasas, and that's according to be discussed. But we usually don't talk about that. You know, he can reciprocate with a disciple, which we see in all the different relationships like that. As you know, and in Vaikuntha, of course, there are husbands and wives, and the wives, they enjoy serving Lakshmi Narayan. You know, as wives or under the direction of their husband. You know, so even in Vaikuntha there is, and I would say, you know, basis for understanding that, you know, one can be in a different relationship with the spiritual master and through that. So the spiritual master is always capable of delivering, you know, the disciple. And it's not a matter of achieving perfection in some ways. All these things are already there. What's the same? Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sada. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabu Naya Shravanadi Shude Chita Karaji Udaya. That it's already there. Krishna Prema is already there. So simply it's a matter of self-purification, and then you begin to understand, you know, through the process of bhakti yoga, but you begin to understand who you are and what your relationship is like that.
When you were explaining that you went to second year, you went to the place where you put all your things for Ratha Yatra, your remembrance camp. So now, when we remember, when we had bad experience, bad thoughts, those thoughts are stuck in our mind. Yeah. So those thoughts are acting. Can we make them disappear? Can we purify them by making them disappear? Or they always stay there? Like, I can remember things that I have done when I was very small, you know, small child, which were not simple activities, but they're always there. So how can we get purified by this talk?
The question is, sometimes we have bad experiences, and they're stored, you know, in memory. And the question is, how can we get rid of them, or can we get rid of them, or can we purify them? So, this kind of tantra, this is like bhakti yoga tantra, which is interesting because Hanuman is an incarnation of Lord Shiva. He asked about tantra here. So memory in general, see, in the West, usually the term we're all trained as, at least as Westerners, maybe not the foreign devotees, right? The foreign devotees are trained and different kind of memory than the Indian devotees. And memory in the West usually means caudate memory, up in the brain. It's interesting because where you were pointing to where the memory was is the back of the head. Right? You know, so maybe French store their memories back here. You know, So one time Carl Jung, this very famous psychologist, was sitting with these Hopi Indians. They're very famous for their high character and peaceful society. Anyway, he was a psychologist. He used to go to different cultures and talk with them. And he started talking about like sometimes how you have thoughts in your head like that and so on. And they all kind of like looked at him and looked at each other, and they all kind of like started edging away from him a little bit, you know, the conversation. And then he noticed that, and he said, well, did I do something wrong? And they said, well, you were talking about how people, how like sometimes you have thoughts in your head. And they said, only a madman has thoughts in his head. You know? Thoughts are in the heart. You know? So, and the Bhagavatam, it also explains that the intelligence is in the heart. As they go up through the advancement of the animals, there are those who can have no memory or recollection, ability to remember within the heart. So you can see that by the Western standard, we're all crazy, we're all mad, because for the most part we rely upon drawing memories from our head. But as soon as you actually engage in the process of bhakti yoga, you know that you actually have to learn these things by heart, right? You know, I got up this morning, my body was cold, I'm fighting off a cold, which I'm winning, looks like it's gonna win. The ground was wet, my clock stopped last night, so I didn't get until late, you know. Then you got to go down to the Kund to bathe and the Kund and stuff. And at that point, you have to know, everybody knows this, you have to know the morning program by heart, right? It isn't that you can think about it. You know, what should I do now? No, it's just like you've got to be able to get up and just, you know, drag your insane mind to the bathroom. Just shove it in there, and you shove it through the process, shove it, you know, and shove it into the temple room. You force it to chant rounds. So anybody who's experienced in bhakti yoga, you come to this point where the regulative principles become smarnam. You know, they're in the heart, right? And even though you're externally disturbed, at heart you've purified yourself. You've purified your basic real memory, your real intelligence. So these external memories are stored many places, right? For example, you may get hit in the leg, and suddenly it'll bring back a whole recollection of when you fell off your bicycle, right? When you were a little child. All the memory will come back in a very vivid experience like that, you know, because it's actually been stored there in that part of your subtle body. Or so many examples I can give like that from, you know, devotees and so on. But we tend to Westerners to try and store it all in the brain, you know, load the brain full. I notice myself when I fast and do different things like that, my thoughts start coming from the back of my head, you know, so on. So, from the stomach, same thing, you know, one of the voices from within. God is within, right? You know, but there's a lot of gods within. And the spiritual master teaches you to recognize which voice within is, you know, is the God you should worship, you know, like that. So, you may never have to purify these. One time, of course, the question is that the devotees ask Prabhupada, they say, Prabhupada, when you open the doorknob, does it become spiritual? You know, I think everything Prabhupada touches becomes, you know, part of the spiritual world. And he said, as long as I'm touching it, you know. So it's like that. The pure devotee, whatever he uses in Krishna's service, it becomes a part of the plug-in. It becomes spiritual. So the same way, it may never become necessary to go through and clear all these memories. Oh, what was I in my last lifetime? It doesn't matter usually, you know. Who cares, you know. So for the most part, it's necessary just to clear out a little space in your intelligence and your consciousness, and get to work, you know, engage in devotional service to Krishna. So yes, you can purify all these things like that. You know, you can go through different processes of, you know, purifying your memories from wherever they're stored, in your subtle body, you know, in your brains, in your arms, in your stomach. And so many times people have experiences with a shock, like to the liver, you know, bring out an experience, you know. So you can purify all those, but why do it? I mean, you know, it's not necessary.
Lord is in everyone's heart. And Lord says, from me comes knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. Our remembrance or forgetfulness depends on Krishna, who is within the heart. And it's not, as Maharaj was explaining, not back of the head, or it's coming from the heart. Now, remembrance is of two types. Remembering Krishna is one type, and remembering Maya is another type. Similarly, forgetfulness is also of two types. Forgetting Krishna is one type of forgetfulness. Forgetting Maya is another type of forgetfulness.
So Krishna says in 10th chapter that those who are engaged in my service, priti-purvakam, with love and devotion, and all the time, tisham sarada yuktam, priti-purvakam, satat, all the time, and priti-purvak, to them I give intelligence. Nadami buddhi yogam, I give them intelligence. Ena mam upayantite, why do I give intelligence? So that they come closer to me. So those who are engaged in satata yuktanam all the time, Maharaj mentioned the devotional process, regulated life of Krishna consciousness, undergoing all somehow nectar the morning program. If one is doing that, then Lord is sitting within the heart, will give him more and more intelligence. And that intelligence will naturally help person to remember Krishna and not remember Maya. When you remember Krishna, you are going to forget Maya. I mean, all this is not the first time that we have taken birth. We have taken bahunime vetitani janmani, so many births, so many deaths we have undergone. But we do not remember all our previous births, all the details. Personal impressions are there. So who has arranged the forgetfulness of all our previous activities? Maybe you remember some of the activities of your childhood from this birth, but do you remember activities of your childhood of the previous birth, or birth before that, or when you were young in last life, or when you were old in all previous lives? You don't remember. We don't remember that. So Krishna has already arranged the forgetfulness. So what we remember and what we forget, and whether we remember Krishna or Maya, or we forget Krishna or Maya, the whole thing depends on Krishna who is sitting within our heart. So if Krishna is convinced that this soul wants to remember me, is serving me, then Krishna is going to release the right type of remembrance and the right type of forgetfulness. The right type of remembrance is going to predominate your consciousness, and the right type of forgetfulness. We want to remember Krishna and forget Maya. Not that we want to remember Maya and forget Krishna. So Krishna within the heart, he can turn the keys this way or that way, and this is how we are fully governed and controlled by Krishna. So you might remember some of the details of your childhood activities, which you said they were not sinful activities. But even if you remember some activities of your youthful times, which were, say, sinful activities, if you are Krishna conscious, then that remembrance is not going to bother you. That remembrance is not going to agitate you anymore if you are in Krishna consciousness. Not that everything is going to be erased, become zero. In this lifetime you may remember that you went through that abominable life of sinful activities. You still say remember, but that doesn't bother you, doesn't attract you anymore. Like Yamunacharya, he talks about his experience, he says, when I now remember my illicit connections, I remember, but then what do? I spit at it. I feel like a spitting. So not that he doesn't remember, but he's not attracted by those activities anymore. He realizes he has a full... Now he could discriminate because he has a buddhi, the Dadami Buddhi Yogam. Krishna has given him intelligence, and now he says this is sinful activity, spiritual activity, this is whatever. He can discriminate that. So Krishna within the heart can help living entity to forget something, remember something. So it depends. Krishna wants to see us engaged in his service, and then Krishna can give us the necessary intelligence to remember Krishna and forget Maya.
Then what is the use of our mind independence?
Maharaj? Maharaj. Maharaj is... Anyway, I mean, there are some other questions related with the Bhakti Narasimha.
Okay. In this regard...
Any questions related to Nava Vida Bhakti?
Maharaj, you were talking about the Padasivana.
Padasivana.
One understanding I got from Bhagavatam, Mr. Prabhupada explained that Padasivana specifically also refers to worshipping the feet of Krishna, like, for example, meditating on Krishna's lotus feet, anything that's related. So,
yeah, it was also. Mahanadi Swami before he left in Vrindavan.
The
question is that he got Pranadi Prabhu is saying, and he got the impression from the section of the Bhagavatam in this verse that Padasevan has anything to do with directly meditating upon Krishna's lotus feet. That Lakshmiji, she also became, she's example of become perfection to Padasevanam. You know, I haven't had a chance to actually read the whole thing, and it's seems like it actually is, you know, it can be seen from a variety of perspectives, you know. So that's one comment. But also one point is that Mahanidhi Swami was saying, we're going on Padayatra in Vrindavan, we happened to meet him in the marketplace, myself and Krita Karma. And he was commenting that that going to holy places is one of the items of Padasevanam. And as I was hearing that verse, it is, you know, using the legs to travel to holy places, going on Navadvip Mandal Parikram is specifically Padasevanam, and you know, going to holy places like that. You know.
If I feel I'm a servant of my spiritual master, why isn't that Dasyam? If I'm feeling I'm a servant of my guru, Why isn't that a bhav? Why isn't that dasyam?
So the question is, if one is feeling he is the servant of his spiritual master, why isn't that dasya bhav? So in that regard, there's one story of Trey Rishi told, he was in Iran, and he told Prabhupada, he said, "Oh Prabhupada, you know, Krishna is so great and so far away that I can't really, you know, have any feeling for him, but you're so wonderful that I just, you know, I just want to serve you and think of you like that." And said, Prabhupada said, "That is your rascaldom." So Prabhupada explains that one has to see the spiritual master, not just as a spiritual master, but he has to see him as the servant of Krishna. Another tape, he says that the Mayavadis, they don't really have any personal relationship with Krishna or personal conception of Krishna. So therefore, he says, kind of chuckling, he says, therefore, all they see is the lotus feet of their own enormous Guru Maharaj. Which you see among Mayavadis is Gurudev, and that's all there is really, the only personality there. Everything else is like Sri Om Bhagavan or something, you know, like Om symbol at the top of the temple, that's the highest truth, and below that you get different personalities. So one loves the spiritual master and serves him in his relationship to Krishna. And he's not giving mercy, he's delivering it. But still, who doesn't love, you know, love the person who gives mercy, delivers mercy, because he's delivering it. But the ultimate object of love is Krishna. You know, in material life, everyone's trying to get to the top of the crab pile, you know, and be on top. In spiritual life, everyone's trying to get to the bottom. Because if you have five masters, that means you're seeing Krishna and Krishna's desire five different ways. Like that. And who doesn't want, you know, to be engaged in devotional service more and more? And if you're helping in the kitchen, if you have a good relationship with the head cook, and when there's some service to be done, he knows you'll do it, and you have a good relationship with the sankirtan leader and the head pujari, and then you have all kinds of nice service, and you can actually pick the best service, you know, like that. So who doesn't want to be the servant of the servant? And then everyone's very grateful. You don't want to offend anybody. You want to be, you know. So that's getting more complex now. But really, Dasya Bhav, Bhimadev says that love means love for one person only. Yeah. But of course, if you love Krishna, then automatically you love everybody else. Yeah. Any more questions?
Yeah.
What did you do back here? Yes. What did you? Loud.
Project.
You mentioned that I wasn't there, but devotees, when Murari Das, one real close friend of mine, was in Los Angeles. I was minding the store, as I usually do, everybody else went to Los Angeles. And it was the end of a lecture, and Prabhupada had lectured for some time. Then he finished off and he said, "So, if you just chant 16 rounds a day, follow these four regular principles, and live in the temple, and I promise that at the end of this miserable material life, I will come and personally take you back home, back to God."
Hello.
And he said that when it, you know, he said it was nobody grieved, you know, when Prabhupada said that, because it was completely sincere promise. And it sounds like, you know, it sounds like it's possible. You think about that, you think, well, I could do that, actually, you know. I was thinking about moving out, but boy, for an offer like that, maybe I'll stay, you know. It's a little tough, but, you know, this lower profile, so this temple president doesn't, you know, get fried with me, and he'll go, they all will go, you know, so on. So, yeah, it's a contract with the spiritual master, and that's the contract that Prabhupada gives, stated different ways. And then as long as we're doing that, then he indemnifies us for all the rest of our simple reactions, all the rest of the karma we're producing. You know, it's just like a policeman. He can shoot people and kill them. You know, you and I can't go around shooting people and killing them. But there are certain, you know, rules and regulations, right? You know, and if he follows those, he can shoot people, he can shoot up, you know, 1,000 people and kill them and not incur any much reaction, you know. The only reaction he'll incur is that the police force itself will, like, tell him, "Well, you should get shot somebody, why don't you take a week off? You're sure it's probably influenced your mind. You know, so just go take a week off, take some vacation," like that. So as long as we're following those regular principles and under the shelter of the spiritual master, you know, and for Prabhupada, you know, as our acharya, that means 16 rounds, regular principles, and trying our best to push on Lord Chaitanya's movement, then we can be guaranteed that all of our activities are being regulated by the internal potency. You know, maybe because you were, you know, mean to somebody, you do deserve to be chastised. But it won't be chastisement by the external energy, it'll be chastisement by the internal energy. And I'm not sure exactly how it works, but if you follow this whole process up until the time of death, that's good enough. That's the deal, you know. That you know, Maya comes along. For example, maybe you like a certain kind of food or something, and you're willing to break the regular principles to get it, even though you may be very, very pure. You know, you're very purified. Almost all the Maya is gone. Bhakti Vinod Thakur in Jivadharma, he says there's two kinds of development. One is karma, and the other one is attachment to honesty, dedication to truth, which is what he defines as devotional service. And he said they're moving independent. You know, like two independent wheels. So you may take birth in a very pious family. You may become a big professor in university. But at heart, you may be very dishonest and or may not be a very advanced devotee like that. Or you may take birth in a family of, you know, of merchants where you eat a big breakfast, go out and lie through your teeth to sell what you have to sell. You know, but you may be a very advanced personality. And ultimately, all the lies you tell are truth. Person gets the benefit like that, you know, ultimately. So, you know, as long as you may be a very, very advanced devotee, you end up taking birth as a dog. An example is, of course, take birth as a dog in a dom. But you may take birth as a dog next door to a Hare Krishna temple and get prasadam. There's a cat who used to come and watch an evening arti in Berkeley every night. He sits at the, come around back and stands at the door, and he watched the devotees going back and forth chanting. And he also would steal their socks, too. He would steal their socks. A strange cat. That is strange. Hey, I was going to tell two Bodhi Mantra stories, Sankirtan stories. And the first one was related to me by Vrindavan Das, the old devotee if you know him. And he was going, they were this car, this convertible he got somehow or other, you know, you get things on Sankirtan. So they were using this convertible to distribute books on the East Coast in America. And they were going to New Vrindavan for Janmashtami festival. And that was a big festival in New Vrindavan at that time. So there was no other big festival like that. So they stopped at an intersection on a sunny day, and New Vrindavan is describing. And Bodhimanta is sitting there in the car. He'd been in the car for a few hours. They hadn't done any sankirtan for some time. So finally, he just is looking back and forth, and finally, he just grabs a book, right? And there was a wall, like, you know, up to these trees here on the right-hand side. Nothing much else at the intersection. So Vrindavan said he just grabbed a book and just jumped out of the car and just climbed over the wall with the book, you know? And then the light turned green, and the cars behind me started honking the horn, and Vrindavan's getting more and more, like, worried. And then suddenly these hands come back over the wall, the arms and the legs, and then Bodhimanta drops down to the sky and gets back in the car, and they drive off, you know? And he has $10, right? And so what was on the opposite side of the wall was a convalescent home, an old people's home, you know, we call it a retirement home like that. And there was some lady just sitting there in the wheelchair, old lady, with her nurse there. And suddenly out of the sky, this, you know, Spider-Man just drops out of the sky and convinces her that she has to have this book. You know, she pulls her purse out, gives him $10, and he goes back over the wall like that. That was one story about his dedication, you know, for him it was like air, you know, distributing books. The other one, he told us actually this when he was like getting the devotees fired up to go out of the sankirtan. He said, if you're fired up, you can distribute books anywhere. And he described that if you know Chicago, it's in the middle of America, and it's a junction point for many, many airline flights. Actually, more traffic goes to the O'Hare Airport in Chicago than any other airport in America, and I think any other airport in the world. And the day before Thanksgiving is the biggest day. So the temple in Chicago, of course, the temple president, I think it was Uttamasloka, they had the whole thing arranged. They had people going in shifts for a certain number of hours. They had prasadam arriving. They had books backed up. They had the lawyer, everybody had the lawyer's phone number tattooed to their wrist. He was on call with a staff of assistants, you know. And somehow or other, Uttamasloka or somebody put Bodhimanta in the second shift like that. And they had him dressing Kishore Kishori, you know, that morning. So Bodhimanta said the second he found out he was in the second shift, he was in anxiety. You know, he wasn't going to get out there because it's the biggest day at that airport. And so he said that he went on the altar the second to do this. He said, but I didn't stop doing my service. You know, I went on the altar the second the doors closed to dress the deity. And I was just, you know, I dressed him so fast that I got him dressed in 15 minutes. Of course, his Brahmin thread was on the outside of his clothes, he said, you know. But he was dressed. I said, I didn't wait for a sankirtan van, I called a taxi cab. And then he put like two boxes of books in the taxi cab and told him to go to the airport. Then he got down to the airport and he got out on the main floor with his books and he started distributing them. You know, and he said, I was fired up. And he said, you know, they just couldn't stop me, the karmis, I was going one after another. And he said it was like all the ticket sellers and the other karmis, they became like birds on the telephone wire at the end of the day. They were just like amazed watching me distribute these books. I was so fired up by Krishna. And he said, in fact, the manager for the entire airport came down to the mezzanine and leaned over and was watching me. And he said, I distributed, it was 45 big books in 60 minutes.
Yeah.
And he said, those were first volume Chaitanya Charitamrita. Yeah. So this is the kind of sankirtan lectures you would give. And anyway, then you go out, like, it didn't matter what it was, you could sell it, you could sell anything at that point, you were so fired, you were fired up, so on. So I could go on, but you know, that's kind of two stories there. So anybody else has any more questions or comments or anything? Yeah. Yes, Maharaj, there you go.
I want to say about Bodhimanta.
There you go. Pick up.
If I may.
Let you go over.
Yes.
Take the microphone.
It was like this, if I may. So, actually, I did not have much contact with Bodhimanta Prabhu, but he did come to Germany, I think 1972 or something, because.